This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Studios live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. As our coverage is brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. Been a very eventful day, and we're about to check in with two of America's finest. Right here on 105.3 The Fan, okay? You have Captain Jervy Alota, whose resume is incredible. He's done just about anything that's possible to do in the Navy. Surface warfare officer, son of a Navy chief, graduate of the academy, named team captain of the football team his senior year, joint war plans officer for the 3rd Fleet, instructor for the Sea Combat Command Syndicate. I mean, I could go on and
okay,
on.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
Stop.
Got an overachiever here.
Hey, can we just say that my daughter also graduated from the Naval Academy?
There you go.
Surface warfare officer, currently deployed in Japan, so I'm proud.
Very
to
proud.
Say
that. Yes, girl dad ourselves.
Yeah, there
so,
we go.
Yeah,
that's
we're
awesome.
Right there with you. And yeah, is your son there right away. Now?
My son is at the Merchant Marine Academy. And
okay.
Yeah, he's serving across the pond as well. He's on his way back from Japan.
Wow. What's up with this family? In water bit.
I know, right? Hey, I trained them well. Had them drinking the Kool-Aid early.
There you go.
And you are here with a fellow Navy officer, Captain Tyree Barnes. Commander Tyree Barnes. I'm sorry. Was that
one day I'll get
there?
You can do it.
Okay.
You can do
okay.
It.
Yeah. All right.
And you're a Dallas native?
No, I'm from Hampton, Virginia originally, okay. But I'm actually right now I'm in charge of all the recruiting for Dallas, Fort Worth, West Texas, and all of Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting kids signed up to be the next.
Anytime you see anybody come from around you, they went through us. So
if anybody's listening and they're interested in joining, what's the recruiting pitch?
They can go to their nearest recruiting station and call me, and I will show up personally and say, hey, you know what? We had this conversation, but more importantly, technology is a technology. These days, Navy.com, it'll get you exactly what you need. You can learn any and everything about any and every job in the Navy, and it'll lead you right to where you want to be.
Is it different recruiting the kids these days in any way?
It is a lot different recruiting these days, and we both had the ability to command ships, so we understand what the flavor of what we're getting now, right? People want to understand the why, they want to know the buy-in, so it's just a little different, and the propensity is a little different. We don't have grandfathers and grandmothers that are selling the dream, that say, hey, you know, in that war, I did this. So we rely on counselors, we rely on teachers, we rely on parents to kind of push them to do something and be a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Well, our show producer, Lucius Alexander, who's back in studio in DFW, a Navy man himself. So hopefully that puts us in good standing with you guys, but we appreciate everything that you guys have done.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Shoot.
Okay, when I was at Green Bay with the Packers, we had a player named Bob Kaberski from the Naval Academy.
Yeah. Graduated in 94.
There you go, Bob. Yeah. He came up to visit me. He was in his dress whites. My man, I said, he landed in Green Bay. I gets off the plane. I'm like, my God, that's my guy right there. I got to go pick him up. We went, and he goes, I'm really hungry. Would you take me to go eat at like a Taco Bell or something like that? Because he was at Annapolis, and he goes, I just want some tacos. complete dress whites, didn't spill a drop on himself. Is that still something you guys, now how do you wear your dress white and not spill, like, look at me, I would spill anything on me right
it's
now.
It's an art, right? Like, so you only have two of those uniforms. So if you get ketchup, I mean, we've been to New York, Miami.
Exactly,
and all
yeah, there you go.
So you got to be careful. Like, there is an art to it, and you're very intentional about how you eat whatever it is.
So it's very, you have to be very, because, but Bob was just like, I'd hand it to him and he just, and not a drop on that. And that's, I'm like, he's going to spill something. He's gonna, I got to get some napkins here with the napkins. And he did not spill. I said, that's a man. Right
he also probably had a Clorox pen on him.
That's a lifesaver.
And the week before, he actually probably spilled a lot of stuff on it. So he had a little bit of battle scars. Yeah.
I was like, God, we got to draft this kid. Yeah. This guy is a pro.
Do you know Michael Wall as well?
Yes, so sure Michael do. Wall, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Wall. See, I worked for a guy in Green Bay, Ron Wolf.
Yeah.
Who absolutely loved going to the service academies. Mm-hmm. Like, I would send him. I was coordinating college scouting, so I knew when Ron was going, he would hit, you know, Maryland and hit all those schools in that area. His best call was when he went to the academies. He loved West Point. I mean, we sat there and watched. I mean, when I started with Green Bay, we were watching film of Blanchard and Davis and those guys play for Army in the 40s.
Yeah.
And we're all like, man, these guys are amazing how they're just playing both ways and doing all this stuff. Like,
well, the
that.
Thing about Mike Wall was, so I was a senior.
He's a good tackle. Yeah.
Well, he was a wide receiver.
Oh,
he
no.
was a recruited wide receiver.
Okay, that's,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, he actually came in as a tight end.
Okay.
But he started off because we didn't have tight ends.
Right.
We ran the triple.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like a wide receiver.
Right.
And then, like, he became too big.
He came too big.
And then he became a hand on the ground, like a tackle.
Yeah,
and I'm
sweet
like,
feet.
How did this guy go from a point guard, wide receiver, to a starting left tackle for Brett Favre? Like, unbelievable.
Yeah, no, this is – when you go through those academies and stuff and scout, it's amazing how – just when you go on campus and you're in that environment and you realize why, like, gosh, okay, we got to get more of these players on our team.
Absolutely.
And it was a priority for us in we had a guy, Ronnie Makeda, who was in at West
Army.
Point. Yeah.
He gives me PTSD to this day.
Exactly.
He was a quarterback.
See, exactly. That option stuff.
Ron Leshinsky and Makeda.
It's okay. That's Jervy Alota here, former Navy football captain, current captain in the Navy. How different is leading on a football team compared to everyday life in the Navy?
No different. Like, the way that you approach, winning the locker room, you know, showing them that you care, leading by example, putting in the work, rolling up your sleeves, getting dirty, it's no different than when you go to a ship. You know, you got to show your sailors that you care, that they add value, that you're their biggest cheerleader. At the end of the day, it's about winning, right? You should all perform, for one common goal, and that's for the victory. It's a little bit different in the Navy. Like, if you don't do your job playing football as a free safety, they score on you. Big
right.
deal. Offense has your back.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do your job in the military, either equipment breaks or people get hurt, and we can't have that. So you kind of, I've had the privilege of, being a captain on the football team, and I understood what it took, to get the team to buy in and believe and doing something bigger than themselves. I kind of use that same philosophy in the fleet, right, on the ship, and it works. When people feel like they're a part of something big, and they're winners, then I'm guarantee you they walk around with their chest puffed out, feeling good about themselves, and they'll do anything for you. And that's kind of sailors, those kind of leaders that we want in our Navy.
So, one of the things in football and the military I think that people think of in their mind is the discipline, the accountability, maybe a coach or a drill instructor or an officer yelling at you. From consuming your content online and what I could find in your videos and then just meeting you right here, you seem to be the positivity and love guy.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile all that?
Well, winning is the ultimate goal, right? And if you can win and be at that top level by showing love and compassion, then why change? So every organization that I've had the ability to lead or opportunity to lead, I've been the same way. And you know what? I've always produced winners. So you can't tell me that I'm doing something wrong, right? As long as you're producing winners, stay true to who you are. Now, if things aren't working, then you got to flip the switch and you got to figure out how to adjust and overcome and adapt. So luckily for me, it's about motivating and inspiring and letting people know that we're in this together. I need you, cook. I need you, mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I need you, bosun mate, to be the very best of who you are or who you can be so that we win as an organization. And when they feel like they're a part of something big and they know that they add value to the team,
They're going to do their very best. And then you got a whole squad, a whole ship doing the very best. And then they're outperforming everybody. I've commanded three ships, and all three of them were losing organizations before I got there. And they had tyrants on board. Mm. Right? They were like leaders from old school, right? But then I come in showing a little love, showing them that, hey, I'm here with you. I'll be here, you know, scrubbing the bilges, painting, chipping with you guys from the very beginning. And we're going to get this done together. When they saw that we cared about them, we cared about their welfare and their well-being, then they're just like, okay, he's down with us. He understands us. He can connect with us. And we're going to give him our very best. And we got, like, we turned it around, and now we have, like, the best of the best in that ship class. And we were award-winning ships. We went from the bottom of the barrel, like the jokes of the fleet, to the best award winners. And it was all because of love.
Have you had to adjust at all how you approach maybe some of the younger generation now?
No, like they get me.
Okay.
They get me.
So that approach works.
That approach works because all they want is value. Right, they want, like, they're always on their phone,
sure.
and they're, you know, they want the clicks, they want the views. How about a pat on the back? Hey, I appreciate what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're doing amazing things. Let's take a picture, and I'm gonna celebrate you on my social media.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, like, holy smokes, man, the captain knows who I am, and he recognizes me. Like, that doesn't happen very often. And then it's gonna make them want to perform even more.
Where do you come out on setting goals, like? Reading your story about being a young football player, right? Do you want to go realistic, or do you want to shoot for the stars and settle for the moon?
Man, hairy, audacious goals. You got to be bold. My goal when I was a little kid was to play football at Notre Dame. Like, I was a scrawny little freaking Filipino kid. I wrestled 98 pounds my freshman year.
Wow.
But I was my
not
goal
a draft. You're wrestlers. I love wrestlers. I was scouting. If you were a high school championship wrestler, or you're from Belgrade, Florida, I was going to draft you.
There you go. So, I mean, big, hairy, audacious goal. No one believed that I could do it, but I was relentless. I told myself, I don't care what you think. I am going to play football at Notre Dame. Yeah. So then, you know, high school, I didn't start until my senior year. I played at a really high-level school, ranked fourth in the nation in San Diego. I didn't start till my senior year. But guess what? No schools were looking at me. You know, I got one offer. It was a school called Navy.
Yeah.
But guess where I was freshman year in college? I was in South Bend looking up at Touchdown Jesus wearing a gold helmet.
Yeah. Let's go.
I wasn't playing for Notre Dame, but I was playing at Notre Dame. I was living my dream.
Yeah.
So you can call it what you want. I'm here living my dream. So my message to people is have a goal. Be relentless towards achieving that goal, and don't let anybody tell you you can't.
Pursue the dream, man.
Pursue it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the greatest spectacles in sports every year is Army-Navy. I have not been able to experience that. I know Gavin
and Brian both have. You're missing out.
What makes it so special?
Oh,
I mean, because it looks like in the stories I've heard, it's chills. Like, even if you don't have anybody that is part of a military academy in the family, like, everyone embraces and can relate to that game. It's special.
Absolutely. I mean, beating Army is ingrained in us from day one. You show up at the Naval Academy, they shave your hair.
Yeah.
You run down the hall, you make a right turn, and you don't say anything. And they say, why didn't you yell beat Army, you know? So you make a left turn, and now you know every time I turn around this corner, I'm going to yell beat Army. You look at any weight room in the weight, beat Army, beat Army, beat Army. So it's instilled in us. It's ingrained in us. So to have that culmination end at the end of a season and to know that we can go out with a bang, more importantly, that we can send our seniors out with a bang, and Captain Loder talks about it a lot, that's some of these guys, 99% of us, that's our last time ever putting on a football helmet is playing against Army. And more importantly, we want to beat Army, right? These are our brothers at arms. But on that field, we want to annihilate them. We want to kill them. We want to blow them out. We want to do everything we can to show that the Navy is the Navy, right? And that's what we've been ingrained from the moment we stepped into that building.
That's the voice of Commander Tyree Barnes. He's along with Captain Jervy Alota of the Navy here with you on 105 through the Fan. Do you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say, like, so that's an awesome game, but the pageantry, like, what other game does a president go to or the Secretary of Defense go to where the entire brigade of midshipmen and corps of cadets are there, and there's like a battle within the battle of the, like, who could be the loudest, who could be the wildest. They all look good in uniform. You got double flyovers from the Army.
Flyovers are incredible.
The parachute teams, like, you talk about all the pageantry involved with Army Navy, and then everyone just goes nuts and wild. Like, it doesn't have to be the greatest game. It just so happened, you know, the last couple of years have been amazing games.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the pageantry alone is all you need. Like, before, when both teams used to suck, like, people would still go because of the pageantry. But it just so happens that you got a top 25 school in the nation. You got a team, you know, that's, you know, the Commander-in-Chief trophy was on the line. And then we just freaking dominated them, which was even that much more better. So, I mean, it was just amazing.
Where's Air Force in all this? Are they just like, they're off to the side?
I'll tell you what, there was one time where Air Force was pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah, there was one time
they were pretty good.
Now, they try to get into the big boy conversation a little bit.
Jervy and Tyree, which one of you gentlemen had the better games against Army? Did you score against them?
I did not score. I caught a pass in 3 of the 4 games. He would probably attest to this. I had the better games because I won all 4 of my games that we played.
There you go.
So it was amazing. It was just it was just fun. You know, it was just something that I can never forget. If you ask me my most favorite 4 football games, is those 4 games against Army.
Yeah, you know that you have a problem when your free safety is the leading tackler in all 4 of those games. but Ronnie McKay was the absolute best.
He and, could magician with that ball.
Oh, that option was unbelievable. Yeah. So, you know, I saw my buddy Clint Bruce, who was the middle linebacker, and it's just that option, especially the way the Navy ran it back in the day, was a tough stop. But, you know, again, you know, it's always going to be a battle, you know, regardless of who's favored, regardless of the records. Like, we all just want to get at each other's throat. We just want to dominate each other. And so you could throw out, you know, the ratings or whatever. Yeah. It's going to be a battle.
But, you know, I want to say one thing, too. It's such a great game, but I love the uniforms every year, how you guys represent different groups and stuff. As players, did you get to help choose that, or was that just automatically you showed up and here was your locker there at the Vet or in Baltimore,
so,
wherever it was?
So he could probably speak to it. I can't. So my 4 years, we were the same jersey, same helmets.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. Yeah, the uniforms are beautiful.
But then he had the Under Armour.
Yeah, we had it where I was still Nike when we were there, but it still was kind of a buy-in process a little bit. We kind of knew it was going to resemble something different than our regular blue. Once they switched over to Under Armour, it kind of blew up, and then that was more so of a thing at that
such
point.
A great look.
We got to pick our patches. We all wear the patches that are certain, and that's the part that we get to buy in on.
And let me get it right. If you sing first, it's bad, right?
That's correct. You want to sing second.
That's correct. Yeah, there you go.
I wanted to touch on the idea of battle, you know, whether it's a game or life or actual warfare. What's your advice to the people under your command as far as dealing with that adversity when life sucks?
So, again, like I personally recruit athletes, right, because I know that athletes are resilient. They've dealt with losses. Although you've dealt with losses, that doesn't mean you have to like it, right? I don't want someone that's okay with losing. I don't want someone that's okay with being mediocre. I want someone who, if they took a loss, they feel bad about it and they correct their mistakes and they ensure that they don't make those same mistakes twice. That's what I'm looking for in a person. So anyone that's ever done sports or athletics, they've dealt with that that adversity, and they know how to be resilient. And that's what I'm trying to teach our sailors, because, I mean, whether it's mental health, whether it's, you know, physical strength, they're going to deal with adversity. Whether it's the adversary, you're going to deal with things. Whether it's, you know, losing connectivity when you're out deployed, you're going to deal with hardship. And you know what? You've never done anything significant in your life without it being hard. So if you really want to do something special with your life, choose your hard, right? And choose it well so that your family, your friends will be proud of you at the end of the day.
Excellent stuff, guys. We're sending folks to Navy.com, right?
Navy.com, absolutely. Or America's Hashtag. It's on all social media platforms.
Hashtag America's Navy.
I'm sorry. Hashtag America's Navy. More importantly, you got this guy right here. If anybody who's anybody, every warfighter out there knows exactly who he is, right? And what he's doing is special because it's showing the people who understand about social media, understand the impact and the power of social media. And he gets to see, he shows what we do on a daily basis, that leaders are actually out there and care. You got great leaders leading great people and building great teams. And Navy.com is a perfect place to join that team.
I love it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Fan.
Thank you guys for having us. Thank you very much.
Oh, man, that was awesome. Captain Jervy Alota, Commander Tyree Barnes with you here on 105.3 The Fan. We're coming back with former Packers running back Amon Green. We'll get his thoughts on this game and his experiences in the NFL next in the nation.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra and Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, GBAC Nation. That was a lot of fun talking with those Navy guys, and salute to them for joining us here on The Fan. Incredible leadership, great stories. I mean, I felt like we could have gone. Whenever we get these military guys on, I just feel like we could continue to ask them questions.
The energy.
Yeah. You know, the energy is great. The focus is amazing. The intellect is always on high display. Now, I wanted to ask them about great naval battles of all time. I'm sure as Academy graduates, they could have gone in such great depth on the World War II stuff that we love, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, if you or a family member interested, go to Navy.com. Amon Green's going to sit down with us here in 4 or 5 minutes, segment of the nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And we're on Radio Row, brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. What's shaking out there, guys? We have NBA trades that continue to develop as the trade deadline's tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Jonas Valanciunas is being traded to the Kings from the Wizards. Okay, so that's kind of a nothing. Dennis Schroeder is a name to watch in a potential trade talks around Jimmy Butler. Okay, the Warriors are focused on adding Jimmy Butler as well. So it appears Golden State's going to do their damnedest to get as good a player as possible to put with Steph Curry and, you know, try to have a one last big run. But we're all really hoping that something comes down the pike with Kevin Durant that could change the current circumstances. Right as we went on the show in the opening segment, the news broke that he does not want to go back to Golden State. And that's why all the momentum from late last night, where it appeared people were saying, I expect Kevin Durant to be traded to the Warriors. Apparently he said, I just don't want to go back there. And who knows what his reasoning is. He does not have a no-trade clause, but the Warriors, it's been reported by Chris Haynes that they're not going to try to force his hand or talk him into it or anything. If he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there. So that's sort of where we're at in the association, right, with what, about 21 and a half hours to go to the trade deadline.
That's right. That's right. And I haven't seen the comments yet, but it's sounding like I saw Myles Garrett here at Radio Row.
Yeah, I just saw him walk by us a little bit ago.
Looking incredible, and apparently he responded to a question that is pointing people to think he wants to be with the Commanders.
See, I knew that was going to happen.
Myles Garrett apparently saying like he could be, but I can't hear the clip right now, but it seems like everybody is like, oh, wow, he could be he said he could be that guy for the Commanders pass rush.
We talked about, I mean, I was on a lot of different platforms. I know people were asking me about him, and what about possibly with Dallas on? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, hopeful. You got to start with this pick. I think, Zach, you did we even talk about
it? We talked about it on today's Love of the Star.
Love of the Star. We
love
talked
it if
about
you listened
that,
and, so, yeah. You know, subscribed, do whatever you do, wherever you find
like,
your podcast.
I just feel like that the Commanders are going to be a player in this thing.
They've got a ton of money, and I think Jaden Daniels is now a player that a lot of the rest of the league is going to want to join in with, right? I mean, he's a special talent, and I think that's exactly what, I mean, we got DC Radio right across from us. When I was walking by during the break, they were finishing up with Daryl Moose Johnston, who's going to be on our station tomorrow, and they were telling him, like, yeah, Myles Garrett said he wants to play with Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. So something to monitor. That would stink to have him in the division.
I just feel like that's an easy no-brainer, you know, as long as you can agree on compensation with Cleveland because of their amount of cap space, because of their need of the position, because they're winning, because of what he said about his need to win, and he doesn't want to, you know, be a start and finish in Cleveland and never really have a great chance of going. So right now, I feel like based on how the two games went, the Cowboys still match up pretty good against Washington. But by the time we get to training camp, I imagine that will have changed very significantly here as they deploy $80 million. They could backload some of this. I mean, they have a chance to add 5 to maybe as many as 8 or 9 really good players to this. And maybe it'll be enough to best Philadelphia finally next year. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's 100% on the table. As long as Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury continue to rock and roll offensively, and there's not a sophomore slump or defense is sort of catching up to what it is he wants to do in his tendencies, I would have to imagine, especially for the NFC East division and the teams that know the Commanders are on the schedule, defensive coordinators are going to be locked in the lab all throughout the offseason trying to figure out how can you contain this dude, because he is just that next level awesome. And as you mentioned, with the amount of assets that they have, with salary cap and whatnot and their willingness to be aggressive, I think they're going to go. I mean, they have, what is it, Adam Peters from San Francisco? Mm-hmm. That's a team you've seen over the years. They continue to just add talent no matter what, and they will, and he will do everything in his power, you would have to imagine, to take advantage of being on a team that is a contender with a cheap quarterback. This is when you go all in. So getting a guy like Myles Garrett, a total no-brainer. And Dan Quinn, the guys love to play with him. Myles Garrett can see, hey, look what Dan Quinn and Micah Parsons were able to do together. And he probably thinks, you know, that would be a heck of a landing spot.
It would, man. It would. And, you know, you mentioned sophomore slump there with Jaden Daniels. I'm not quite sure if I'm rooting for that or not. I mean, I love the player. I love watching how great he is. But that threat inside this division, you know, a year ago at this time, we were talking about C.J. Stroud taking a second-year step and maybe joining the greats as far as that current pecking order of who's in Group 1. Would you be surprised if Jaden Daniels and his coach there go the way that Slowick and Stroud went last year?
No, I think that's very possible. We've already seen the trend during the portion of the season where Cliff and the offense struggled. Now, I think that was probably a product more to do with Jaden Daniels' health. He had the rib injury. He certainly wasn't running around as much. But we've seen that the league does pick up on Cliff's trends. And there have been down trends in the second half of seasons for him. So this offseason, the league goes and watches tape on what they did and what Jaden Daniels liked to do. Maybe they see some of what Zim did against him in those two games. It wouldn't shock me if there was a second-year slump at all. I do think from a Cowboys perspective, you've got to at least make the Myles Garrett call. Like, that's a local kid. He wanted to play for the Cowboys, was outspoken about that when he was getting drafted. Cowboys weren't in any range to be able to get him then, unfortunately. They were drafted late in the 20s. He obviously went, what, second overall out of Texas A&M? But I he's a guy that has always dreamed of wearing a star on his helmet. And that would be similar to me like Derrick Henry last year. Like, you've at least got a call. Maybe it ends up being compensation you don't want to give up. But if it's also blocking him from going into your own division, I mean, the idea of pairing Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett together is incredible for any fan of football.
Don't got anybody on the board at 12, better than him.
I wonder if he views, because he's clearly in championship mode.
Yeah.
He wants to go to a team that's a contender.
Yeah.
So
he probably won't.
Does he view the Cowboys that way? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think they were close enough. And yes, I think you could, if you want to be a Cowboy, you could look at this thing and squint and be like, yeah, with me, we'll have the number one defense in the NFL. So we were just talking in Krusty's Corner about Osa and Jordan Lewis. I know they're going to get around to spending $20, $30, $35 million in free agency on their own guys, on veterans. See, instead of splashing that cash around, let's just swipe the credit card a little bit for the future and add Myles Garrett here if you're serious.
I mean, this is my hope that, in fact, that the things that it's Stephen Jones talking, so I get it. Nobody gives a damn. But my hope is he says, hey, we have to look at free agency. We might have to look at it differently.
There you go.
I hope he looks at it in a way of, these second contracts are kicking us in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, let's spend some of this money that we're maybe earmarking for Osa and Golston and Lewis.
I mean, you don't have to pay the last two first-round picks.
Yeah.
In 3 and 4 years, these guys aren't going to break your bank, so it's freeing up.
I'm hopeful that he does make an evaluation where it's like, okay, let's go out and get somebody from the Browns or from the Buccaneers or from the Rams or something. Instead of signing your own, great, you know, draft, develop, great. It's bigger than that. It's, the league has proven now that it's bigger than that, and your pro department can do a pretty good job of finding guys and evaluating guys. You don't have to completely bottom fish every year and sign your own.
Yeah.
You know, go out and sign somebody else's and still bottom fish for some of the guys, and you know, maybe you hit on the Carl Lawson again or somebody like that.
Yeah, you know, I think there's enough good players here that if they went all in like the Eagles do, they could make an absolute Super Bowl champion out of the foundation that they have right now. But I think when it came down to brass tacks there up at the Star, they would say, we can't add Myles Garrett and fill in the rest of our needs.
Well, if we sign Myles Garrett or trade for Myles Garrett, we can't sign Micah Parsons, and, you know, they'll tie it to something else, you know.
But this is a huge, you know, once again, Derrick Henry would have come here for $8 million. Mm. Myles Garrett. Now, what's that going to take? A first and a second? You know, what would you rather have, 12 and 44 for this team where it is, or Myles Garrett?
You know, if they somehow said, I'll give you – they'll take your first and your third. Then you say, okay, we got Myles Garrett. We got a second-round pick. Maybe,
for a running back.
Maybe you grab your running back, and now you're out of the draft because you don't have a four as well. So, you know, that's going to be for a team that has a lot of holes. But, yeah, you probably got a really good running back, and you probably got Myles Garrett, and now you got a bunch of fifths. And then you call in Les Snead and let Les draft in the fifth round for you from the Rams because he seems to have the magic wand.
You go find a Byron Young.
Yeah, he finds dudes
or Kobe
in that
Turner.
Fifth round.
He sure does. Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
Puka. Okay. Yep.
We got an eye on breaking news if it happens. Again, NBA trade deadline tomorrow right at the top of our show, so we look forward to talking about that with you guys. Football's Finest is coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl and all the storylines around the NFL. I don't know if Amon Green's going to make it or not. We are looking forward to chatting with him, but I know all the guys here are very busy.
Yeah, they get stuck.
And sometimes they
stuck.
Just can't make it.
Yeah, they get stuck.
But we do have Rangers Hall of Fame announcer Eric Nadell joining us. Are we just a week now from pitchers and catchers? Yeah, on the 12th. It's the 5th. We're a week from pitchers and catchers.
50 days from opening day.
Let's freaking go. Eric Nadell joins us next here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. Chief might have a separate question for you there coming up as well. I think you might have interest in it. It's going to be a great second half of the show as we're live on Radio Row, brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. Yes, we're scouring the web at every break for more NBA news. Are the Mavs going to do something else? And, you know, we have an eye on all the NFL Super Bowl talk as well. But, guys, pitchers and catchers reporting in a week. We're going to be in spring training in a month now. Is this a month away for us? So we're looking forward to that week of broadcasting. And Wolchuk just said opening day is 50 days away.
50 days away, man.
And joining us now is the Hall of Fame voice of your Texas Rangers, Eric Nadell, here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. You know, this Radio Row is always a unique experience. But we are excited about this baseball team and bouncing back. Have they done enough to make sure they're back in the mix this spring?
It's a good question. You know, the one remaining question mark is whether they have added a potential closer. And I think with all the guys they've gotten, they probably have. I think all of us would feel a little better about it if they would go out and get a guy who's actually already been a closer, like a David Robertson or a Kenley Jansen or a Kyle Finnegan. But if they haven't, you know, they've got a lot of guys to choose from. They're really high on Robert Garcia, and Chris Martin could conceivably get a shot at it too. But I think they've done a great job in reinforcing the lineup. And I think the starting rotation is in terrific shape with their re-signing of Nathan Eovaldi.
I mean, are you optimistic about Garcia? I'm thinking of the history of it, and it just doesn't seem like it'll go well, you know, if you don't have a closer. And how likely is it? Let me just ask you open-ended. How likely is it that a guy is actually solidified in that spot?
Yeah, you know, nobody really likes the closer by committee thing. Managers will say a lot of times they'll be fine with it, but, you know, they're really not. They want a guy to go to. But, you know, John Hart, who was the general manager of the Rangers for a few years, not very successfully, but had a fantastic run in Cleveland, used to say, and probably still does, that closers fall out of trees. You never know how you're going to come up upon a closer when you don't have one. In Cleveland, a perfect example was they found Jose Mesa. He was a failed starter, and with a variety of injuries and that sort of thing, he wound up just closing a game one day. You know, retired the side in order, so the next time there was a save opportunity, they gave him a shot again, and next thing you know, he's their closer. The same thing kind of happened last year with the Rangers and Kirby Yates. You know, he wasn't anointed closer out of spring training. It was going to be a bullpen by committee, but the first time they had a save opportunity after Jose Leclerc, you know, clearly wasn't the guy, Yates got a chance to close, he got the save, and next thing you know, he was getting all the save opportunities, and what a closer.
Eric, we found out today Adrian Beltre, fellow Hall of Famer to you in the Rangers Hall of Fame, is going to be getting a statue outside the Northeast Entrance Plaza of Globe Life Field. When it comes to the statues, I feel like that's an amazing accomplishment. Like, you've done something incredible for the organization and the history of that team. How would you quantify what Adrian Beltre means for the Rangers, and what do you think of the news of him getting the statue?
I think it's fantastic. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. you know, he goes up there with Pudge and with Nolan as Rangers who have gone into the Hall of Fame as Rangers. And obviously helped the Rangers to a World Series, almost won a World Series, and, you know, was incredible for Texas in so many different ways, especially down the stretch in those years where they were fighting for playoff spots, 2015, 2016. And, you know, played with so much joy. It seems like there can't be enough opportunities for the Rangers to hire Adrian Beltre, but, you know, nobody's complaining. He come out with something new. And for it to happen, you know, an announcement the same day that Elvis Andrews is announced as the newest member of the Hall of Fame, it's like those two guys should be honored together.
Eric, got to tell you, it's incredible here being on Radio Row for the Super Bowl, walking around. How many different local and national shows, even though it's football, are talking about the Luka Doncic trade? Have you ever seen anything like this in all your years in DFW?
No, I haven't, you know, especially for it to happen during the season. You know, the Rangers made a really big trade, a trade that got them to a couple of World Series when they traded Mark Teixeira, you know, and got six players in return for him. But Mark Teixeira, as good as he was not the caliber of Luka Doncic. He was, you know, he was also older. You know, the Cowboys had their Herschel Walker trade, and, you know, that was an off-season deal. But, no, nothing like this. And I don't know that, you know, anybody's been traded who has had the impact on the fans that Luka has had. You know, even for me as a casual Mavericks fan, you know, I'm still feeling it. You know, I immediately went to that old song Luka and started working on writing new words to it, which was kind of therapeutic for me to get that out of my system.
Yeah. No, it's a fun song, by the way. It's a genius concept as well. I think it's kind of like, you know, trading for Cliff Lee for the Rangers. I remember how electrified the building was that day. And, you know, but it's maybe a magnitude greater than that on the opposite side of the spectrum as far as the depression. I guess we're on the other side of the Cliff Lee deal at this point.
Yeah, we are. You know, and you can only hope that, you know, Anthony Davis will come here, he'll stay healthy, and, you know, maybe the Maverick season isn't over. And then, you know, maybe they come up with something else significant, you know, over the remaining time we have before the trading deadline. So, you know, I'm not giving up yet, but I am, you know, crestfallen, heartbroken, all the other words, you know, about not having Luka to root for anymore, since, you know, he was not only the face of the franchise for, you know, a lot of ways, he was the face of sport in Dallas these days.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, as a baseball fan, should I hate the Dodgers?
Yes.
Can we fix this, Eric? I mean, how the heck are they able to do this? This is every
Eric,
player
me.
Goes to the Dodgers.
Tell me, please tell me how I should. I already hate them, but tell me as a baseball fan, they're kind of like what the Yankees used to be to me. Now mm-hmm. I hate the Dodgers.
They really are.
Yeah, yeah.
You really are, Brian. And you know that the Red Sox people used to call the Yankees the evil empire.
Yes.
For getting all the players. That's what the Dodgers are now. You know, and the straw that broke the camel's back for me was Kirby Yates. You know, okay,
exactly.
So they
exactly
they get Sasaki, they get the best closer, Tanner Scott. Now they have to get the second best closer out there in Kirby Yates. That was too much for me.
They got Major League Baseball to overlook Otani's possible involvement in banned activities. I mean, the list goes on and on. We're here with Eric Nadel.
Something in L.A. Something's going on in L.A. The leagues love L.A.
We love your birthday benefit concert.
Do.
I understand. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, you think about it. Kareem Jabbar got traded to the Lakers. Will Chamberlain got traded to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky got traded to the Kings.
Yes.
But yeah. Ugh.
So,
for that concert, on May the 29th, I'll have my birthday benefit concert this year. Proud to say it's the 13th year, and for the first time, we're moving to the Longhorn Ballroom so we can accommodate more people, accommodate more sponsors. Tickets went on sale today. Our headliners are Shiny Ribs, one of the best live bands in the world. They're out of Austin. And the Secret Sisters, who put on a phenomenal show, too. They're a duo from Alabama. And the tickets are on sale at longhornballroom.com. All the proceeds go into the Grant Halliburton Foundation. I'm really excited about it. The Longhorn Ballroom is celebrating its 75th anniversary. It is a truly historic venue. Anybody who hasn't been there yet needs to go there. And if you haven't been there by May, well, let May 29th be the first time you go there and enjoy a show. You'll be back.
I love it, Eric, and we look forward to being back in Surprise early next month. Look forward to seeing you there, and I'd like to apologize in advance on Brian's behalf for his behavior in the press box.
You guys are most welcome. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
We'll try to get him sobered up before dinner this time.
Yeah. Eric, maybe we'll leave him at home this
Eric,
time.
I'll buy you dinner again. Trust me, I'll buy you dinner again.
There he goes.
We're on.
Eric Nadel here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. It's going to be a cool year for Rangers broadcasting, the simulcast of the pre- and the post-game show. And, you know, a lot of the new things they have cracking over there is going to be cool. Okay, an edition of the Finest coming up. Chief, where are you taking us?
I've been seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold for the last 2.5 hours. Plus, we have a Super Bowl illness that is really going to make one of these fan bases a bit queasy. Next in the nation.